Let us now prepare our hearts to hear the reading of God's word as we join together in prayer. Come, Holy Spirit, source of all life, let the same mind be in us that was in Christ, who was a servant, that we might be free. Awaken our ears, open our hearts, and sustain the weary with your word. Amen. Today's Old Testament reading comes from Psalm 118, verses 1 to 2 and 19 through 29. This is a psalm of victory. Let us listen to the words of our Lord. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His steadfast love endures forever. Let Israel say, his steadfast love endures forever. Open to me the gates of righteousness, that I may enter through them and give thanks to the Lord. This is the gate of the Lord. The righteous shall enter through it. I thank you that you have answered me and have become my salvation. The stone that the builders rejected has become the chief cornerstone. This is the Lord's doing, and it is marvelous in our eyes. This is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Save us, we beseech you, O Lord. O Lord, we beseech you, give us success. Blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord. We bless you from the house of the Lord. The Lord is God, and he has given us light. Bind the festal procession with branches up to the horns of the altar. You are my God, and I will give thanks to you. You are my God, I will extol you. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his steadfast love endures forever. Today we look at the final I am statement recorded in the Gospel of John, found in chapter 10, verses 11 to 18. Jesus refers to himself in a familiar term, I am the good shepherd. And we also read from John the story of Jesus' triumphal entry into Jerusalem as we prepare our whole selves to follow Jesus to the cross of redemption. Let us listen to the word of God. I am the good shepherd, and the good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. The hired hand, who is not the shepherd and does not own the sheep, sees the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and runs away. And the wolf snatches them and scatters them. The hired hand runs away because a hired hand does not care for the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I know my own, and my own know me. And just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. I have other sheep that do not belong to this fold, and I must bring them also, and they will listen to my voice. So there will be one flock, one shepherd. For this reason, the Father loves me, because I lay down my life in order to take it up again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of my own accord. And I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it up again. I have received this command from my Father. And from John chapter 12. The next day, the great crowd that had come to the festival heard that Jesus was coming to Jerusalem. And so they took branches of palm trees and went out to meet him, shouting, Hosanna! Blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord, the King of Israel. And Jesus found a young donkey and sat on it, as it is written, Do not be afraid, daughter of Zion. Look, your king is coming, sitting on a donkey's colt. His disciples did not understand these things at first, but when Jesus was glorified, then they remembered that these things had been written of him and had been done to him. The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. Well, today on Palm Sunday, there seems to be a lot of pomp and circumstance. Jesus arrives in Jerusalem with the crowds waving palms and hailing him as king. The Jews had longed for a king. They had prayed for a king. They needed a king. And for them, kings evoked images of rules and kingdoms and order and dignity. Quite a contrast to the image we remember Jesus as today, as a shepherd. Jesus is often referred to as a shepherd king, an interesting combination when we think about the qualities that define both roles. In the time of Jesus, kings and shepherds never spent much time together. Probably not at all. They were at different sides of the economic and political spectrum. Yet even so, Jesus was the kind of man that could be both shepherd and king. In the Gospel of John, when Jesus referred to the sheep, the shepherd, and the sheepfold, he used that to talk about the character of the Lord God. And he was using not only a familiar biblical metaphor, but also an everyday firsthand experience that was familiar to his people, as unfamiliar as it is to most of us. For you and me to understand what Jesus is talking about, we would have to learn what it's like to be a shepherd back in the time of Jesus and what it would be like to tend sheep. Last week in our children's chat, Jenny explained a little bit of how the sheep are cared for in a fence, and how Jesus, we talked about Jesus is the gate. In Jesus' day, the most common occupation was that of shepherd, and one of the most common sights was of a sheepfold. And as we talked a little bit about last week, each night a number of herds of sheep would be kept together in a single neighborhood pen. And another word for that is sheepfold. This was a small enclosure, generally with stone walls and a single gate. This week during chapel at preschool, I talked to the kids about how sometimes they had to use thorny bushes that were around the landscape for them to be able to create shelter. Sometimes they were able to use pieces of wood to construct a temporary pen. And then, as we learned last week, this designated gatekeeper would guard the sheep against the night hazards of weather and beasts and robbers. We read last week where Jesus referred to himself as the gatekeeper, an image of Jesus protecting us from what might harm us in our earthly life. And in the morning, each shepherd in turn would come and call forth his own flock and would take it to pasture and water. The character of the best shepherds was well known. The best shepherds protected the sheep and knew where the best pasture and the best source of water were found. And again, as we learned last week, the sheep listened to the voice of the shepherd and would follow the shepherd where that shepherd went. Shepherds guided from the front of the fold. Otherwise, the sheep would not move forward. In a sense, the nation of Israel was a nation of sheep. The Bible is filled with references as to how the Lord God is like a shepherd and the people of Israel are like the Lord's sheep. The only good king Israel ever produced was originally a shepherd, who we meet first as a young boy named David. And Bible stories show us the complex life David lived as he grew from working as a shepherd to serving as the king of Israel. And as many of us know, David made so many choices that broke his relationship with God every time. And David was able to acknowledge his sinful choices and return to a right relationship with God. It was King David's love of the Lord that is best reflected in one of the most familiar of all the Psalms, Psalm 23, and perhaps the best known passage in the Bible. King David writes, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness of his name's sake. And yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table for me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. You and I, who know very little about the ways of shepherds and sheep, think this is a very beautiful psalm. How much more extraordinarily beautiful and meaningful must it have been to those whose daily lives involved the care of sheep. As they were to the sheep, so the Lord was to them, their provider, caretaker, protector, and overseer. And despite the manner in which the shepherds were treated, God certainly had a special affinity for shepherds tending their flocks. Not only did he call a shepherd to become king, but he announced the birth of Jesus Christ first to the shepherds before it was announced to any king or wise man. There was something special about shepherds to God. And when Jesus came along, he took David's psalm and he gave it a new meaning. What Jesus did was to identify himself with the character of the Lord God, asking the people to test his character. Excuse me. Voice is scratchy today. Jesus asked them to identify himself with the character of the Lord God, and he asked the people to test his character for themselves to see whether or not it was the true character of God. Then Jesus did the most extraordinary thing of all. He added on to the character of God. Jesus said, I am the good shepherd, and the good shepherd is willing to die for the sheep. And I am not just a hired hand. You will know how much I care for the sheep when you see that I am willing to lay down my life for them. The character of God. Just a second. I don't know where that came from. I need that cool water that Jesus promises. The character of God is the character of love. To understand God, we have to understand love. And this is not easy for us. It takes a long time. In fact, it takes a lifetime for us. But what is love? Is it just a feeling? Is it something we fall into and out of? Is love just a feeling that we feel and fall out of love? No, it is much more than that. Love is something that we live and learn slowly and painfully at times, just as we learn the very character of God throughout our earthly lives. Jesus shows us that love is self-giving. Jesus shows us that love gives to the point of death, but that death is not the end of life. It is only one more test of love. The shepherd intentionally becomes the sacrificial lamb. As Isaiah foretold, like a sheep that before its shears is silent, so he did not open his mouth. And Jesus makes it clear that he gives his life willingly. No one takes it from me, Jesus says, but I lay it down of my own accord. And here, my friends, is the core of the Easter resurrection and the message that gives us hope. Before we can celebrate the Easter resurrection, though, we need to acknowledge today Christ's crucifixion. And it's not easy to walk this coming week towards the moment in which Jesus is killed. Many Christians will celebrate the parade-like atmosphere of Palm Sunday, waving their palms, and jump to the joyous news of the resurrected Christ on Easter Sunday. And much like those who were present at Jesus' triumphal entry into Jerusalem, we like to think only of the Messiah as king, as a warrior who will defeat the authorities all around us. And even though we know that Jesus Christ is king, we also know that he is a king like no other because he sacrifices himself as a shepherd does for their sheep, all so that the sheep might feel protected and safe and led to a land of fulfillment and peace. Holy Week offers us all moments to remember the sacrifice Christ makes for his sheep. That's us, in one of the most difficult ways, by laying down his life for our sins so that we might dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Sometimes we go astray just like the sheep. Sheep that are ill may follow the voice of a stranger. Sheep wander off and fall into ravines. And for us, there are many voices surrounding us that are vying for our attention, many distractions that lure us from the path of righteousness. And Jesus promises that he will never, ever let us go. His voice will bring us back, because we belong to him. This is a strong word of reassurance to us in our struggles to be faithful. Jesus seeks out the lost, those in need of being rescued, who are often the forgotten of our society. And Jesus also seeks us out, all of us who, like David, know God intimately, but are still human and still capable of sinful, selfish behaviors that cause us to step off the right path. The relationship between the sheep and the shepherd is based on what the shepherd does rather than on what the sheep do. And it's all about who the shepherd is rather than who we are. We've been the lost sheep, and we've been found. And yet there are still sheep in God's fold that have wandered off and remain forgotten, not by God, but by God's people. And many people have no idea that today is a day of celebrating Jesus' triumphal entry. They have no idea that it is Palm Sunday because they do not know Jesus Christ. And so they will live their lives constantly in the valley of the shadow of death. They will not rejoice in the Easter resurrection. Instead, they will focus their Easter upon a bunny and colored eggs and Easter baskets full of chocolate. And no doubt, these activities are fun and family friendly and should be celebrated to have fun on Easter, but they have no lasting value in our lives. No lasting value like our relationship with Jesus that he offers to all of us. It sort of makes me sad when I think of those who will spend more attention on the Easter bunny than on Jesus Christ. Not because Jesus doesn't have the power to save them, but that sometimes we ignore opportunities to show them that Easter is so much more than a cute bunny. There are times we must confess when we neglect to invite those out of the sheepfold to join us and live under the care and protection of Jesus Christ. Like a shepherd, it may mean we go to the sheep and we offer care, protection, and a love that they are yearning for. Through the reassurance that we know the voice of the shepherd, may we in turn allow the shepherd's voice to speak through us as we reach out to the lost and hurting that we encounter along the way. How sweet is the voice of God. How marvelous is the character of Jesus Christ, who is our shepherd. How incredible is the love of God that is revealed in the Lord Jesus, the good shepherd who lays down his life for the sheep. Hosanna, blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord. Alleluia. Amen. If you would please join with me in our song of praise by standing and singing the song, the next song. Great is the Lord.